In other news.
You know, the towers did not burn up. They turned into powder in midair.
That's scary to have this helicopter hovering around.
We walk up to him and confront him. They can't stand that.
Welcome to another news. I'm Jeff Brady. You may recall not very long ago the U.S. Food and Drug Administration requesting that a judge give them 75 years to produce trial data concerning the Pfizer and BioNTech injections. This trial data is among the criteria the FDA used to license Pfizer's experimental COVID-19 shot. Well, in early 2022, a federal Texas judge ordered the FDA to make this data public through a Freedom of Information Act filed by public health and medical professionals for transparency and the Informed Consent Action Network. And the judge's order forced this agency to release all of the estimated 450,000 pages within 8 months, a rate expedited from 500 pages a month, the original FDA offer, to 55,000 pages a month. This ocean of data are Pfizer's internal documents submitted by doctors and scientists that detail the clinical trial results Pfizer conducted for its COVID mRNA injection. The trials were known to be done to secure emergency use authorization from the FDA. Having been recently deplatformed and censored for speaking out about the industrial-scale health injury related to the mRNA shots, Dr. Naomi Wolf, in short, was prompted by War Room host Steve Bannon to make the massive volume of highly technical Pfizer documents readable to the public. This process took hundreds of hours and thousands of people. 2 years later, the book titled The Pfizer Papers, Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity, edited by Dr. Naomi Wolf and Amy Kelly, was published. Dr. Naomi Wolf is a best-selling author, columnist, and professor. She is a graduate of Yale University and received a doctorate from Oxford. She is also co-founder and CEO of civic tech company Daily Clout. Dr. Wolf is the author of many books, such as The Bodies of Others and New York Times bestsellers The End of America and Give Me Liberty. She's a Rhodes Scholar and advisor on women's issues. Dr. Naomi Wolf, welcome to Another News.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's astounding what you and Amy Kelly and the Daily Clout team have accomplished with the publication of the Pfizer papers. You've hired teams of professionals to process this highly technical language chronicling the adverse effects from the Pfizer mRNA shots and made it digestible for the reader. These are the trials that are normally done for 10 years before administered to humans, but fast-tracked because it was considered a public emergency. Would you please begin by explaining what the Pfizer documents are? How many people were involved to receive trial injections? Is there a specific number of those injured and those who have died from the injections?
Well, it is an extraordinary undertaking, an extraordinary project. Basically, I was deplatformed on June of 2021, very violently for noting on Twitter that women were reporting menstrual symptoms upon receiving this mRNA COVID injection. And that's the kind of work I've done my whole career and been kind of beloved for in the legacy media. You know, women's sexual and reproductive health has always been my beat, among other issues. And I didn't know until lawsuits by two attorneys general in 2023 that it was the Biden administration that deplatformed me for that very tweet unlawfully. But after that, I was kind of kicked out of my media home on the left, and no one would talk to me. But Steve Bannon reached out to me because he cared about what was happening to women and babies and gave me a platform to bring my evidence. And then in 2022, Pfizer's internal documents, 450,000 of them, in the custody of the FDA were ordered released by a court due to a successful lawsuit by attorney Aaron Seary. And the FDA asked the court to keep these hidden for 75 years. And the court said no, but Bannon and I were both concerned as journalists that these documents would be erased from history because they were so voluminous that no news outlet had the bandwidth to go through them, and they were written in such technical language, lay people couldn't understand them. So he prompted me on air to call for a crowdsourcing by experts to read through these documents and issue reports. And I did that, and I was joined by an extraordinary project director named Amy Kelly, who got 3,250 highly distinguished doctors and scientists to volunteer for over 2 years from many different time zones for the good of humanity to go through the FISA documents and issue what are now 109 reports. 50 of the most important are in this book, the Pfizer Papers, that we just published 2 weeks ago. It's climbing the bestseller list. They broke, unfortunately, story after story of what they've confirmed to be the greatest crime against humanity in recorded history.
It's going to be really hard to understand for regular people how the corporate media lied, how government agencies are involved. I think they could understand the big pharma element. That's nothing new, but the level of injury here is something no one's seen before. Regarding the trial injections, can you tell listeners how many people were involved and injured as a result and died?
So there are many things that are bad science or nefarious science in the Pfizer papers. One of them is that there's no denominator. They don't say how many people these numbers represent, what percentage of what number these numbers represent. But the numbers themselves, even without a denominator, are staggering. In just the 3 months that the Pfizer papers cover, we learned that there are almost 43,000 individual people who suffered serious adverse events, SAEs, and that over 130,000 individual serious adverse events took place, and that 1,225 people died, that is reported by doctors to Pfizer to have died. We know that even though the FDA and the CDC were saying that the side effects were, you know, fatigue, maybe chills, maybe, you know, pain in the injection site, Pfizer knew and the FDA knew that it was tens of thousands of very severe side effects, like strokes, epilepsies, florid neurological events, convulsions, Guillain-Barré syndrome, Bell's palsy, so many forms of heart damage, myocarditis, pericarditis, blood clots, lung clots, leg clots, clotting disorders of all kinds, blood damage of all kinds, thrombotic thrombocytopenia, so much arthritic-type damage, interestingly. Joint pain is the number two side effect. Myalgia, which is muscle pain, people just feeling bad, is the number one side effect. The number three side effect is COVID, because a month into the rollout, Pfizer learned that the vaccines didn't do anything to stop COVID. So everything that followed, all the mandates, all the lost jobs and broken families and injuries and deaths were based on a lie. And Pfizer and the FDA and the White House knew it. Also, the centerpiece of the Pfizer documents, injuries, it really revolves around reproductive damage, which is surprising. You'd expect the Pfizer papers would center on breathing and oxygen levels and mucous membranes and lungs because COVID is a respiratory infection, but they don't. They center on weird obsessive focus on ruining people's reproductive capacity, men and women, but mostly women. For instance, of all the serious adverse events, 62% are in women, and 16% of those are, in Pfizer's words, quote, reproductive disorders, end quote, versus 0.2% for men. So they knew they were damaging women reproductively. They keep a chart in the Pfizer papers that shows menstrual damage, you know, what I got deplatformed for noting women were reporting at industrial scale, like 15,000 women bleeding every day. You know, 10,000 women have two periods a month now. this many, 7,500 women have no periods at all, meaning they're no longer fertile at all. This many women, the thousands, are hemorrhaging. This many women have agonizing cramps, agonizing pain. This many women, you know, 10-year-old girls are bleeding upon injection. 85-year-old women are bleeding upon injection. The casting of the uterine lining, which is disgusting, but a not uncommon side effect. So, you know, they knew that they were killing babies. There's an 8-page pregnancy and lactation report that shows that 2 babies died in utero, and Pfizer concludes that it's due to maternal exposure to the vaccine.
Dr. Wolf, I want to go back to the numbers in the trial. We're looking at maybe more than 100,000 people that had taken the Pfizer injection as a trial. Is that correct?
There are almost 43,000 individuals in the Pfizer papers in just 3 months who experienced many of the multiple serious adverse events. Okay. There are over 100,000 individual serious adverse events in these less than 43,000, 42,000 plus individuals. There isn't a denominator. We don't know what the total number of people represented, that is, the denominator of which those 42,000 plus people represent a fraction.
Understood. Thank you for making that more clear. Getting back to the fertility issues, it's unbelievable considering what you just described. There was an article that appeared in the Seattle Times and other major outlets titled, "Here's Why Getting a COVID Shot During Pregnancy is Important," by Jackie Fortier, October 2024. Quote, "Nearly 90% of babies who had to be hospitalized with COVID-19 had mothers who didn't get the vaccine while they were pregnant. According to new data released by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention," end quote. And then this is a paraphrase, "babies too young to get the injection had the highest COVID hospitalization rate of any age group except people over 75. Okay, that's just taken out of that article. You've been writing on women's sexual and reproductive health through most of your career. Would you talk about what you've unearthed in the Pfizer documents about how pregnant women are targeted by an aggressive campaign to get injected and the dangers with fetal blood-brain barrier issues and lactation?
I would want to look at the data that underlies the claim that babies are sicker. You know, babies of unvaccinated moms are sicker because, you know, what our team found and what you can read in the Pfizer papers is that so many of the conclusions are based on lies, basically, fudged science, like very transparently fudged science. Like, let me give you a couple of examples. Pfizer hid the bodies or hid reporting of the deaths, which is illegal, of 8 vaccinated people who died with COVID so that they could falsely claim that you're more likely to get hospitalized and die if you are unvaccinated. And if they had reported those deaths accurately, they would never have gotten the emergency use authorization because they'd have to state that you're more likely to get hospitalized and die if you're vaccinated, which is what the data are now revealing. You know, Pfizer created categories like resolved/resolving to characterize serious adverse events so that you can't really tell if someone still has a stroke, you know, or after effects from a stroke, or if that went away, right? They buried the death of a 7-year-old girl from stroke in a footnote. I mean, and what we've seen with a lot of the science, quote unquote, around COVID, upon which the CDC and the government in general was making its claims, is it falls apart upon scrutiny. I did some of this reporting in The Bodies of Others, my book about COVID. You know, my mom was freaked out, 83-year-old woman at the time, because her local newspaper in Oregon was saying, oh no, COVID is up 30%. Well, I did a little digging, and it turns out that that meant that it went from 3 cases to 5 cases in a county of 59,000 people, and that the Oregon state government had defined COVID as presenting with sniffles or fever. Now let's go to what we actually know from Pfizer's own internal documents. They, you know, I mentioned that there's this obsessive focus on ruining reproduction in the Pfizer documents. For example, Pfizer knew that the materials in the injection would biodistribute throughout the body, even though the CDC claimed that they stay at the injection site, which is impossible, you know, basically. But they claimed that that was the case, and in fact, the spike protein, the mRNA, the lipid nanoparticles are industrial fat covered in a petroleum product called polyethylene glycol, made in China. You can order it on the internet. This material biodistributes, and the lipid nanoparticles accumulate in the liver, the adrenals, the spleen. They cross the blood-brain barrier, causing brain damage, which explains a lot of the behavioral changes people have seen in their vaccinated loved ones, or can't explain it. And they, if you're a woman, they accumulate in the ovaries. So our team has found no mechanism whereby the body gets rid of these. So the first injection, some accumulates in your ovaries. The second injection, more accumulates. You know, the first booster, more accumulates. So this is maybe a cause of the menstrual dysregulation you're seeing, and the drops in fertility that you're seeing, because literally an industrial fat is blocking the release of an egg in the fallopian tube. But also nurses are finding that women's tubes are blocked when they go in for other abdominal surgery. But Pfizer knew that, right? Pfizer knew that the lipid nanoparticles traverse every membrane in the human body. They're designed to. This has been known for 8 years. So they traverse the placenta, which is a membrane. So independent midwives have sent me photographs, and I say independent because in journalism, if multiple people confirm something independently, that's a fact, showing nettings of calcifications that restrict nutrients and oxygen to the baby of vaccinated mom. And these placentas aren't growing normally, so babies are being delivered early. And also it's very dangerous because the placentas fall apart in childbirth, and maternal death in childbirth is up by 40% since 2021 because women are having hemorrhages or infections, serious infections, as a result of these compromised placentas. The lipid nanoparticles get into the baby, and the testes are encased in a membrane. So they degrade the membrane of the testes of, I mean, as Dr. Chandler said, one of our experts, it's like a shotgun blast to the body. It just goes everywhere, kind of destabilizing, you know, the barriers between organs and systems.
So the lipid nanoparticles go throughout the body. They just don't stay, as we were told, they don't just stay in the area of where the injection was.
Correct. I mean, let me stress, he's using a metaphor. It sprays a body, right? And that's what he's describing. It biodistributes is the word he uses more technically to many organ systems and many systems like the lymphatic system throughout the body. That's correct.
What you said here about the trial research highlighting the focus of injuries caused by the Pfizer mRNA injection to be centered in the female reproduction area, when the primary issues to treat were a respiratory problem, what does that tell you?
Well, I mean, there's so much more evidence. I just wanted to say, because I think it's important, that the testes of baby boys are degraded such that their Sertoli cells and Leydig cells don't work properly, and that switches on adult masculinity in adolescence. So we don't know if these baby boys of vaccinated moms will have, you know, deep voices, broad shoulders, facial hair, or the ability to father children the way, you know, normally developing men do. And there are many, many other examples of the 270 women who got pregnant in the Pfizer trials, even though they were told not to. Pfizer lost 236 of their records illegally. The 34 women whose pregnancies were followed to term, 80% of them lost their babies. And Pfizer knew that. And Rochelle Walensky had this pregnancy and lactation report in her hand on April 21st, 2021. 3 days later, she gave a White House press conference saying that, telling the women of America, there's no bad time to have your COVID vaccine before you have a pregnancy, during your pregnancy, or after your baby is born. And she knew they were poisoning breast milk because there's documentation of that in the pregnancy and lactation report, a chart of babies getting sick, vomiting, fevers, you know, just like the menstrual chart. She knew they were going to kill babies in utero, cause miscarriages, and they did it anyway. So what do you conclude? All right, it's very important that this book is not opinion. It's not an argument. It's not partisan. I have no idea what political beliefs these 3,250 doctors and scientists have. It doesn't matter. It's pure science. So there isn't a smoking gun, and it's not their job to, you know, draw political conclusions, right? They're just drawing scientific facts out to the surface. But for me, I'm a journalist, and I'm a political commentator, and I'm also the granddaughter of a woman who lost many siblings in the Holocaust. I wanted to believe that all of this damage was inadvertent or a result of greed or just corporate carelessness. But when you've read this book, the Pfizer papers, and you've seen the evidence that they were, as they say in tech, it's not a bug, it's a feature, the reproductive damage, right? They were testing and testing and testing how to disrupt women's menstrual cycles. You know, they were finding more and more and more evidence that they were killing babies in utero. They were charting the poisoning of breast milk. So, you know, they warned men, vaccinated men in the trials, not to have intercourse with childbearing age women, and if they did, to use two reliable forms of contraception. So they knew, Pfizer knows to this day, or assumes, that there's something in the semen of vaccinated men that could be harmful to women or to a zygote or a fetus. It's not clear what. They haven't told us what it is, right? I get freaked out emails from women all the time who are, you know, sleeping with or wanting to sleep with vaccinated men who are like, what is this? The point is, the centerpiece of what Pfizer was looking at was how to mess up human reproduction. 2 years later, we've got a 13 to 20% drop in live births throughout the West. And by the way, it's not distributed randomly. It's overwhelmingly in North America, then in Western Europe, then the whole rest of the world accounts for a fraction. And this is according to government databases. So now we know why. Now we know the mechanism that ruins fertility through these injections. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I wanted to conclude that it wasn't a an intentional depopulation operation, but it's very difficult not to conclude that. You know, it's not just Pfizer, right? The whole White House. Like, we FOIA'd emails from the White House, one of our lawyers did, that showed that 15 top White House staffers were in communication with Dr. Walensky, Dr. Fauci, the head of HHS, to create a script to lie about evidence that the vaccines were hurting the hearts of minors and young adult men. And so it's our entire leadership, you know, government and pharma, colluded to roll out an injection that has had the effect of depopulating vaccinated populations.
Right, with a lot of plausible deniability involved here, including the injuries and death from the injection trials they're not necessarily from a hastily prepared treatment under the pressure of an emergency.
Right. Look, you know, if you're doing normal science and medicine and public health policy and not satanic, genocidal science and medicine and public health policy, the first time you get documentation that 1,223 people died, or the first time you see in our report, in the stroke report and in the liver report, that half of the serious adverse events, including deaths, took place within 48 hours of the injection, you tell the world, you know. Or when the Israeli Ministry of Health and a pediatrician's organization alerts you in April of 2021 that there's evidence that minors' hearts are being damaged with the injection, healthy minors, right? You tell the world that's not what they did. They colluded to create a script that's completely redacted, a 17-page script that then they rolled out, as you remember, in 2021, saying, oh, you know, myocarditis from the vaccine is rare and transient, which was a lie.
the political left had been seamlessly taken over by a massive campaign to contort and morph the minds of people who for decades warned against this type of collusion with government and big pharma. And I understand this hypocrisy was aided by politicizing and conflating any criticism of the shots with Donald Trump. But during this engineered pandemic, the left-leaning people were transformed into aggressively campaigning for and willingly accepting into their bodies improperly vetted contaminants from the COVID injection. A lot of them were from the My Body, My Choice generation. Dr. Wolf, would you please talk about this and how you were deplatformed, censored, and canceled as a result of speaking out against the injuries of the mRNA shots?
Yeah, it's very sad and painful, and you're one of the few outlets I've spoken to about this that, you know, reaches people from that community. That happened, you know, I wrote in Bodies of Others that there was a massive money flow. This has been documented in The Nation as well. First from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, millions and millions to BBC, The Guardian, NPR, you know, many news outlets to pay for, quote, overcoming vaccine hesitancy, end quote. And then the CARES Act was passed, and that earmarked $1 billion, as I recall, literally to pay news outlets and influencers to encourage and little community groups and the NAACP and, you know, professional organizations, churches and synagogues to get people vaccinated. And they took the money. And a lot of those organizations and outlets were on the left. And so you had this kind of lockstep. And legacy media, all legacy media pretty much took the money, with no exceptions that I can think of. So people who, you know, listen to NPR, watch CNN, you know, people like my mom were being bombarded day after day after day with pure propaganda and lies. And the phrase safe and effective was repeated in every script, as if that was true, as if they knew that. And as you can tell from reading Pfizer papers, they didn't know that. They knew to the contrary, even as they were saying in 2021, 2022, safe and effective, safe and effective. So it's not surprising that people on the left were, you know, propagandized heavily, and many of them believed what they were told by very authoritative sources. But I guess I don't, this is going to sound horrible, I don't give them a pass. I have to forgive them for my soul's sake, but I don't give them a pass, because it wasn't that hard to find the dissident voices, credible voices, that were starting to raise questions, or even to remember that what we always used to know, which is sometimes corporations lie and sometimes governments lie, and, you know, many times women have been injured by things rolled out as safe and effective, like thalidomide, you know, that's there's a long history of pharma hurting people. We used to know that, you know, and then they kind of apologize and pay the victims, you know, petty sums and move on. Like, the left used to know that, you know, and the left used to, I mean, what is hardest for me to forgive is that even if people were heavily propagandized, right, and even if they didn't have access to other sources, many, many of my former friends and colleagues agreed without qualms to a two-tier discrimination society in 2021, in which unvaccinated people were not allowed to enter buildings or go to school or get treated normally. And that is what Nazis did. You know, that's what happened to my grandma's siblings. So, you know, we're supposed to be the right on side of the aisle. We're supposed to be against inequality. We're supposed to be inclusive. People on the left went along without any hesitation with the equivalent of Jim Crow laws, like literally, I'm not being rhetorical, like literally the equivalent of Jim Crow laws. Like, there's a scene in The Bodies of Others where I'm trying to sit at a lunch counter in a fancy hotel where I'm staying in Lower Manhattan, and I'm told I can't sit at that lunch counter if I'm unvaccinated. And I'm like, okay, well, you'll have to, you know, call Mayor Adams, because I'm not moving. Like, how does anyone on the left not hear the echo of that, right?
So you don't give them a pass. They had access to another side of information from credible sources, yet they chose to listen to the lockstep corporate media propaganda and make their decisions with only that information. In the past few years, hundreds of athletes worldwide dropping dead have made headlines. There are likely tens of thousands of people dying this way. But with athletes, it's not easy to ignore, and so the corporate media uses the term died suddenly. We know there are deadly fibrous clots associated with the injections that the news came out in 2020 and 2021 with the autopsies, but would you please talk about the blood clots and what you found in the Pfizer documents, please?
Are you talking about the clots of fibrous material that embalmers are finding in cadavers? Is that what you're describing?
Correct.
So, to my knowledge, there's nothing related to that specifically in the Pfizer documents. There's not a report about that in the Pfizer papers, but there's a great deal about blood clots and blood clotting, and there's also a mechanism. I mean, one of the great things this book does is it explains the how of the symptoms you and your loved ones might have, and the reason that's important is that it points a way toward treatment and healing. What I've told my loved ones who are vaccinated to do has changed since I was involved in this project, because I understand better the mechanism of damage. For instance, like a loved one of mine has unexpected knee problems. Well, I understand that because joint pain, as I mentioned, is one of the top side effects, and the injections are inflammatory. So eating an anti-inflammatory diet, avoiding inflammatory substances like, you know, alcohol and sugar is really important for her, right? Other loved ones, I give them metakinase supplements, which is a Japanese soy-based supplement that has been shown to help boost your circulatory system, because so much of the damage that these injections cause is circulatory. Another thing we are aware of now is that the materials, as you and I discussed, go through the lymphatic system. So I urge my loved ones to, you know, walk, hydrate, go to saunas, sit in the sun, you know, do trampolines, right? Infrared saunas, lymphatic drainage massage. I mean, these are gestures toward healing, but at least they help to support health in understanding better, you know, how you were injured. And also, just so many people I know have symptoms that are clearly vaccine related, because we know that from the Pfizer papers. Like, how many people do I see these days with a hand tremor? Well, now we know why. The lipid nanoparticles degrade the myelin sheath around the nerves, and that affects nerve conduction. All that being said, you asked about clots. So the lipid nanoparticles, I know a lot of people are concerned about the spike protein, and that's bad enough. But the lipid nanoparticles are what keep me awake at night, because as I mentioned earlier, they're industrial fats. And so they have the role of coalescing in room temperature, body temperature settings, and being liquid at very cold temperatures. So that's amazing to know, because it means that that could be what's causing the incredible amount of circulatory damage, the blood clots and lung clots and leg clots that we're seeing in humans. Like, there's a substance that got injected into people that clumps, you know, at room temperature and body temperature, which is even higher than room temperature. So that's what I can say about the clots. I don't know that they're the same as the fibrous clots that embalmers are finding, but I'm concerned about it, because it's literally, you know, an industrial, it's almost like they're plasticizing the human body, you know, so it's very important to do things that keep your circulatory system working well.
Now, Dr. Carrie Medej said that there are errors in the code of some of the mRNA shots that rewrite DNA, causing a wide range of injury to the body. Have you heard anything similar here about rewriting the DNA and having subsequent injuries from that?
So, no disrespect to Dr. Madej, but some of the things she said, I haven't been able to confirm independently. And So I'm not familiar with that assertion on her part, but I do believe that Kevin McKernan, whose lab I visited twice, who's, you know, very credible, respected, you know, lab director with his own lab, he discovered DNA fragments in both Moderna and Pfizer, and I think J&J vials. I'm just sure about Moderna and Pfizer. And he also discovered or talked about frame shifting. I don't think I'm going to be describing it exactly accurately, but errors in changes in the code that did affect DNA and that reverse transcribed into DNA. So that's very bad. And it's my understanding that we don't know what that's going to cause. Dr. Thorpe says he's seeing babies being delivered with chromosomal abnormalities, and that could be linked. I don't know enough, you know, about the science of DNA to understand that, but it is a big question mark over the future of humanity, essentially, because we were assured that these injections had no effect, could not affect the DNA, and they indeed reverse transcribe, affecting the DNA.
Indeed. We're hearing that, and as you had pointed out earlier, you could find this information if you look for it, if you have any doubt. If you doubt the corporate media, if you doubt the government agencies, if you doubt the pharmaceutical corporations' narrative, the information is available to get to credible sources.
I was just going to say, I guess that's why I'm so relieved that this book has been published. People who watch legacy media tend to respond to anyone who has heard Dr. McCullough or Dr., you know, Corey or any of the many, many, many very serious, credible dissident doctors say something. You know, people will say, well, that's anecdotal, or that's a conspiracy theorist. And they shouldn't dismiss people like that, because those are highly credible people. But this book is so, you know, abundantly documented with Pfizer's own internal documents that it's impossible to dismiss it, you know, and it's all of the sourcing is in one place. So I think that is important, because it's hard for people to sift fact from opinion.
We're speaking with Dr. Naomi Wolf, who co-edited this book, The Pfizer Papers, with Amy Kelly. Dr. Wolf, can you talk about Amy Kelly's role and the role of people at Daily Clout and others who helped put this book together?
Yes. Well, she's really the main co-editor with me. And yeah, she organized this group of thousands of people into six groups and oversaw the production of these 109 reports. And she's an incredibly talented person. But all of these people are incredibly highly credentialed as well. They worked incredibly hard, and she organized them incredibly well. And I, to this day, don't know how she did it, because it's kind of like the hand of divine providence is there, because like one human being really couldn't do that, as far as I can tell. But these people were determined to use their expertise to illuminate and heal and save humanity, and they did so, which is a movie waiting to be made.
Dr. Wolf, I believe there's a consensus of people across all sectors of society who've realized there is a multi-tiered depopulation operation, asymmetrical warfare in full deployment. And I know you've mentioned this in past interviews, the words asymmetrical warfare. This is the largest and quietest mass murder in recorded history. The subtitle of your book is Pfizer's Crimes Against Humanity. Would you please talk about the subtitle, why you suspect this open genocide of humans worldwide is unacknowledged?
Well, it's starting to be acknowledged. You know, my team, members of this research team, have testified to the Australian government twice. They presented to the Brazilian government. After they did that, Brazil withdrew the injections from children, from being forced on children. They presented to the Japanese government. I mean, their voices are being heard around the world. At the same time, you know, Britain canceled the show of their watchdog agency, Ofcom, canceled the show of a very courageous presenter, Mark Stein, and is forcing him to pay thousands of pounds in, in legal costs for having aired a segment in which I brought this information to Britain. So to this day, you know, governments are trying to suppress this information. It is the largest mass murder in history, just from the numbers, right? Because billions of people have been injected, and so what, millions are going to be disabled or sterilized, thousands or hundreds of thousands are going to die. It's hard to wrap your brain around.
Oh, yes, but it's certainly past due for people to wrap their brain around this. The people who made uninformed decisions in the beginning, it's very hard for them to turn around. And, you know, you were on the left and you've made a big turnaround and it's public. Is there anything you would want to say to people on the left right now who want to do what you've done?
It's hard for me to respond to that because I don't know where they've been for the last 3 years. You know, like I think what makes me upset, I talked about some of the things that make me upset, but I heard from a therapist who has many clients on the left, and it's not that quiet, you know, in private. Their clients are very scared and worried about the future, and they feel like their bodies are ticking time bombs, and they don't know if they can have children, but they don't talk about it to their friends and family because they still don't want to be ostracized or canceled or lose professional opportunities. And I emphasize that to some extent, but I also don't, because that's how we used to treat like homosexuality, or that's how we used to treat, you know, infertility or whatever. Like it just perpetuates a culture of silence about very important subjects. And also, I guess I feel like if you're not going to tell the truth now and help save other people, I mean, I guess I sort of feel like half the population has chosen to collude in what most of them probably now know is a lie. And, you know, in the healthcare profession, it's a very damaging lie. I mean, people who still don't give people informed consent are engaging in something murderous. And they probably know it now, right? So I guess what I would say is it's not quiet in the independent media world. Everybody knows this happened and how catastrophic it is in the independent media world. For people who are still on the left, consuming left media, I guess I would just say, you know, break out of your media bubble and go listen to some other things and read some other things and talk to some other people from some other world, because your life is at stake. And also, you know, have a backbone. Like, I'm sorry, but at this point, I look at the faces and listen to the voices of people on the left who are still, you know, in the consensus bubble, even though they know that so much of it is wrong. And they just look so unhappy because they're living with lies every day and keeping quiet around, you know, their friends and family to keep the peace or for craven reasons. So I don't know what to say. Like, this is, I believe this is a spiritual test of humanity. And, you know, 1933 was a spiritual test of the German people. And you have to choose what side you're on. So go get informed and then stand on the right side of history.
While you were answering that, I was thinking, it would be great if somebody developed some kind of on-ramp for that sector of people that are kind of trapped in that place right now. And hopefully there's some kind of easy transition for them to come out and feel okay to talk about what had happened here. Because you're right, this is no different from historic oppression in the past.
I've pretty much said it. Like, I don't know where this will go historically on the left, but I guess I've just kind of lost patience. And if people don't grow up and act morally on the left, I really have no more time for them. Especially because, you know, we tried to, you know, I'll never forget in 2021, Molly Jong Fast, whom I know as a family friend formerly, I knew her mom as a friend, you know, she was boasting on Twitter that her teenage son had gotten injected. And I responded on Twitter, Molly, you know, the trials don't end till 2023. And she accused me of cyberstalking her son because I guess he was on the X feed. I mean, she attacked me. You know, the Daily Beast, Vanity Fair, you know, called me an anti-vaxxer. I mean, these are people I know, right? These are journalists I know. I mean, I was in the audience with Steve Bannon at Steve Bannon's press conference yesterday, standing behind him, actually not in the audience, you know, sort of with his team, and people I know were out in the audience. Instead of asking a man who's just come out of prison for 4 months, like, what have you learned and what do you expect from the election, they were just howling at him like animals. And I just don't recognize the left anymore. Like, these are not the people I want to align myself with. So I'm kind of saying the same thing over and over, but we're supposed to be the good ones, right? We're supposed to be for the science and for equality and for, you know, as I said earlier, for inclusiveness. And we're behaving shamefully. I mean, it's not we anymore. I've kind of left, but the left is behaving shamefully, and it's disgusting, and I'm embarrassed, and I don't recognize them.
Unrecognizable, hijacked by something nefarious indeed, and there's no critical thinking either. It's groupthink. Dr. Wolf, now that it's public knowledge, the U.S. FDA cleared a deadly injection to be administered on people. Imagine what else they and other agencies, such as the CDC, are doing and have done. Please talk about what you've learned about these agencies and your thoughts on how to make them accountable.
Well, that's a good question. I wrote a piece with Amy Kelly with titled Three Things the New Administration Can Do to Tackle Big Pharma. And there are two bad laws that have made all of this possible. One is the National Children's Immunization Act, I believe it's called, which makes it very difficult to sue any pharma company for any harm they do, and creates, forces mediation and creates a tiny amount of money to be paid out upon mediation. So this, imagine if cars, you know, you couldn't sue the manufacturer of a car that killed a loved one. That's what we've got right now with pharmaceuticals as a result. And also the PREP Act, which also protects pharmaceutical companies from being sued. I mean, this is why it was very difficult for us to sue pharma. We had to sue the White House because the PREP Act protects them, except in the event of fraud, which a few lawyers are tackling. So those have to be reversed, and Congress should act on it. Of course, it'll be hard to get them to because they all take money from pharma left and right. In addition, there should be no direct-to-consumer advertising. It's by pharma, just like we don't let cigarette companies advertise directly to consumers. New Zealand and the United States are the only countries that let pharma advertise directly to consumers. And what that means is pharma is basically underwriting all our news and all our Netflix. And, you know, like you watch, when I watch television now, when I'm forced to, I try to avoid it. It's like every 15 minutes, talk to your doctor about Zyprexa, talk to your doctor about this or that. It's all pharma. Well, those ads really don't do anything except make sure that news outlets don't report critically on pharma.
Will the FDA and CDC be held accountable? I wonder as well. You know, I don't know if we're going to see that occur, but, you know, I think you pointed out that the CDC director resigned once the FOIA request occurred to release the Pfizer papers?
No, it's even better than that. When we broke the story of her knowing that the pregnancy and lactation report detailed deaths of babies in utero and poisonings of babies by breast milk, 3 days after our report was published, she resigned.
Can you talk about the reception that your book is getting right now? What is happening out there?
It seems like the CDC and the FDA and the White House are, you know, and Pfizer are trying to deal with what we're exposing by ignoring us. I mean, certainly when Dr. Walensky resigned, there was the usual, you know, we wish her well, she did a great job, status quo type statements from the White House and the CDC. And they replaced her with someone even more zombie-like in lockstep to injecting pregnant women. You know, to this day, this Mandy Cohen is calling for pregnant women to be injected with this material and children. These people are, they're possessed with something. But no, there was no response to our having broken the story. And we did connect, we did write journalism that connected, and I went on interviews connecting the pregnancy and lactation report to the speech that Dr. Walensky gave from the White House 3 days later, calling for women to be vaccinated during their pregnancies.
Dr. Wolf, your book, The Pfizer Papers, has been out for a number of months. Can you please talk about the reception so far? And you're doing a lot of media. What are people saying to you?
About the book, they're thanking us and saying we saved their lives, and they have grandchildren now because they listened to us, and ordering signed copies of the book to help us with donations, and buying multiple copies to give to their doctors and loved ones. We've had nothing but, and inquiries from Europe, various European countries, to publish the book in those languages. So nothing but support. I mean, crickets from the legacy media, unfortunately. Very depressing, but I guess that doesn't surprise me.
This is such a strange place to be. How do you describe living in a country that is waging a soft, ongoing genocidal war against its own people, an asymmetrical depopulation warfare? Because of the captured agencies and the mass censorship on this topic, plus corporate media not reporting on or distorting the facts about this domestic genocide, the injection injuries, turbo cancers, and related death toll, we're lucky to have had the Pfizer papers published through your good work, Naomi Wolf and Amy Kelly in the Daily Cloud. I thank you so much for being on In Other News. How can listeners find out more about your work?
Thank you. Well, the most important thing they should do is order the Pfizer papers from Amazon, because that helps us make an impact in bookstores and bestseller lists, and that helps us get the word out to the people you've described as having no knowledge or information that's reliable. They can support us and read more about Liberty at dailyclout.io and become a member or donor. And they can follow me on Substack, on my Substack, which is called Outspoken. And we appreciate their support, all of your listeners' support, because it takes a lot to bring you independent news and reporting, and certainly this project. So we thank you for helping us.
Yeah, and normally you would have been on the internet with a nice, clean microphone and everything, but we were plagued with technical problems that came out of nowhere.
It's probably just a coincidence.
Probably a coincidence. You're right, Naomi. Thank you again so much for being on Another News. What you've done here is going to make a huge difference in the world, so thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. Thank you so much.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Visit inothernewsradio.com for archives and more information about the guests.